Welcome to another message from Charles Millett Ministries. For more information, contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.
It's Great Expectations on your radio.
Get clear.
Let's get clear, y'all.
Get focused.
Let's get focused.
Get moving. Great Expectations.
Charles Millett, yeah, with the Bishop Charles Millett. You're rocking with the Bishop Charles Millett.
Great Expectations.
There is two verses of scripture that I want us to read together, and then I'm going to pray for you. You can be seated. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, and then in that same book, Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 6, Hebrews 10 and 38, can we read this together? Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Okay, let's go over to Hebrews 11 and 6. Let's read together. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, thank you for what happens when believers are gathered together to sit at the feet of your word. We thank you for the quality of life that's not only established, but the quality of life that's invested down in our soul. And as a result of hearing your word today, our life will be the better. We thank you today that you are our advantage. And we thank you that you give us victory over our adversary, Satan. So we render the devil helpless, null and void, and has no ability to interfere with what you're going to speak to our hearts today. We receive it by faith and we call it done. And all of God's people said, amen. Say praise the Lord, and then you can take your seat. All right. Now, I want to go back and I want to talk to us today and catch back up on a subject matter that I started talking to us about a couple of weeks ago. And when I started talking about it, of course, you know, last week we had communion, so I got away from it just a little bit. But I want to go back and continue to talk to us about faith that pleases God. Can you look at your neighbor and say, faith that pleases God? Now, this is going to be part two. And now, remember, when I talked to you about faith, I gave you a working definition. As we talk to you today and minister to you all, this is more than a sermon, more than a teaching. This is about something that will lift your life. This is about something that will thrust you forward in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to come up in your life. Come on, say it like you mean it. It's time to come up in your life. And that's what these series of teachings are designed to do. So faith is your willingness to see like God, your willingness to see like God. You can be tempted to see your own way, because sometimes what you're going through and what you're dealing with can sometimes speak louder than what God has said to you. So you got to be a person that's willing to see things like God sees things. Faith is a perspective. It's seeing things from God's point of view. All right, a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to, you know, actually get a pizza, right? And thank you, Josh. Obviously, the pizza's all gone, so. But it, I know that hurt, don't it? But at any rate, you know, I wanted to get a pizza, right? And going to get the pizza, I got there, and folk called my name, my order and everything. And then they're standing there looking at me, and I'm looking at them like, okay, what you want? You know, $8.99. Okay, so then I have to go in my pocket, and I pull out my money to pay for the pizza, okay? Now, the money that I have is in the natural equivalent to what faith is, okay? Now, in the natural, money is a means of exchange. It's currency. It's designed to flow. So they said, we got this pizza for you, but in order to get this pizza, I need your payment. So this $20 serves as the substance of things hoped for. It serves as the evidence of things not seen, because that's what faith is. Now, this $20 is not the pizza. I can't eat this $20, but this $20 will get me the pizza. So in order to get the pizza, I had to exchange with them the money. And so that's how things work in the natural. We use money to actually exchange for the natural things that we want. Well, in the kingdom of God, we don't go to God with money to buy what we need. We don't go to God with money to get him to do stuff. We go to God with our faith. Because faith works in the kingdom of God, or faith works in the supernatural the way money works in the natural. So in order for us to please God, to get things done, we have to use our faith. Touch your neighbor and say, my faith is everything. Come on, say it like you mean it. My faith is everything. Now, according to Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing actually by the word of God. Then over, brothers and sisters, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's where God lives. It's where God dwells. It's where the presence of God abides. It's where the voice of God lives. It's where faith lives. And I'm telling you, down in your soul, down in your spirit, down in your body, this is where faith actually lives. This is where it actually abides. And God wants us to know, and he wants us to understand, that faith lives there. And you and God are building faith inside of your life together. Which leaves me with, I just want to pose this question and keep this on your mind. How is your faith working in your life? Because you are to live by faith. You are to believe that when you go to God, he rewards you as a result of using your faith. Okay? So I believe that he is a rewarder of my life because I seek him. And I use my faith actually to live for him. Now, going back, now in your body is where faith lives. Say, faith lives inside of me. Okay, very good. But now, faith is not the only thing that lives inside of you. It's like you and God are building this community of faith, right? And it would be good if nothing lived inside of you but just faith. But the truth of the matter is, faith is not the only thing that's always living inside of you. Sometimes you have to deal with these other little things that also make their way into your life. Sometimes doubt and jealousy, depression, fear, anxiety, anger, in particular anger management and bitterness, and then that big old crib called rejection. All of these things too make their way up into your life in this community of faith that you and God are building. And it'd be beautiful if you never had to deal with any of those things. But the truth of the matter is, every single one of us up in here today, from time to time, has to deal with these other little things that try to make their way up into your life, even as a born-again, spirit-filled believer. You are not crazy. You have not lost your mind. You've not backslid. You have not left God, because you find yourself having to deal with these other things in your life. So no matter how faith-filled you are, you don't get to go through life and say, I never got doubt. I never have fear. I never deal with anxiety. I never have a moment when I don't know. I never have a moment when I deal with doubt. Faith can move mountains. Doubt can also build them. So faith is at work. And it's supposed to be at work, but it's not always at work all by itself. And brothers and sisters, the job of faith is to grow so in your life until it takes over all of these other areas that try to live inside of you and control you. Faith don't make these things go away. Faith grows so that when these things show up, they don't take over your life. The job of faith is to so take over your life that you start living by faith, talking by faith, getting a job by faith, going to church by faith, believing God to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to start a business, to do all of those things by faith. And we don't get to go through life without seeing things God's way. We don't get to go through life without having a perspective and really doing it the way God wants it to be done. So I walk around as a born-again believer, and I'm doing fine. And a lot of you might say, I don't have no problem with this stuff. This stuff doesn't bother me. And you're telling the truth. It doesn't bother you until you run into something that causes it to come up. So what determines what shows up in your life, in many cases, is based on what you deal with from day to day. Now, if I get up and everybody, oh, You're such a nice guy. Oh, it's good to see you. Oh, God is doing great things through you. Oh, I just heard about your ministry. Oh, I heard about, you know, that's probably not a day when I got to worry about a lot of jealousy. Because everybody is talking about how much they like me. But then I get up another day and somebody is just lying on me for no reason at all. They're not being nice to me at all. As a matter of fact, they're hating on me for no reason at all. And I know some of y'all don't think that anybody could ever not like you and nobody could ever, you know, hate on you because, I mean, as nice as you are and as wonderful as you are, how could anybody not like you? But you got people that don't like you because they don't like you. You got people that just hate you without a cause. Imagine somebody just don't even know you and you ride up with your motorcycle that you done invested $1,200 in, a bunch of chrome, and then somebody just look at you and just because you got more chrome than they do, they hating. Well, now that day, because they looking at you kind of funny, don't want to have speak and throwing off, now all of a sudden you might have to deal with a little jealousy. You might have to deal with a little bit of anger. But all that showed up because what you were dealing with that day. If your sweetie pie, your honey pie, your husband, your wife, whoever your boo is in your life, if everything is clicking and ticking, oh man, you ain't got no anxiety. But let them not come home when they're supposed to. Let them not bring the money home. Let them not like want to eat what you cooking. Let them not want to pay the bill. Let them not answer the cell phone. Let them not respond to your text. Let them be going in the other room on the phone while you're not looking. Now all that faith you got up in there dealing with a whole lot of other stuff. And the job of faith is not to have you walking around telling yourself, I don't doubt, I don't doubt, I don't doubt, I don't have fear. It's not bothering me. I'm not nervous. I'm not afraid. Faith says, yes, it's going to show up, but when it does, my job is to grow until I take over that stuff. And then this is the most interesting thing about it, y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, faith that pleases God. The most interesting thing about it is what God uses to grow your faith is not what you and I would choose. I don't choose for somebody to tick me off to grow my faith. I don't choose for stuff to be happening in my family to grow my faith. No, I'd be like, Lord, let that junk happen to the person down the street that I don't like. Let that happen to my enemy. I don't get up in the morning saying, God, send me a devil just to make me happy. No, I'd be like, send me an angel. Send me somebody to bless me. And God can use all of these things to grow your faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God uses this for you and him to grow together. Your faith is your willingness to see like God. Again, it's a perspective. It's seeing things from God's point of view. This is your life, y'all, we're talking about. God gives your life, well, he should be the foundation of your life. He gives your life, you know, direction. He gives your life meaning. He gives your life discipline. And without faith in God, your life is all over the place. You can have faith in church and not have faith at home. And you'll do good at church, but when it comes to home, you're all over the place. Like I say to Josh, come here, brother Josh, if you would. I say, okay, Josh, follow me, man. Just follow me, Doc. Woo! Come on, Josh, follow me. Josh doing all right? Come on, say he doing all right. Josh doing all right. So ain't nothing complicated about this, is it? Okay? Now I say, Josh, follow me, Doc. Okay? You ready? Let's go, man. Now, the point of the matter is, it's not that Josh is not following me. The first time Josh was following me is what faith is like in God. You got a sense of knowing where you're going. You can follow without being all over the place. The second instance Josh was following me But it's what happens when your faith is not in God. You're following yourself, you're following other people, and you're following the devil, and you're doing your best to keep up because you got no real sense of what is solidifying your life. Give Josh a hand. And y'all, it's sad because sometimes you got good people whose lives are all over the place because they're really not following God with their life like they should. And when you don't use your faith to please God, you end up with a life full of everything except what God really wants you to have. Faith that pleases God. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 31, down through verse 34. Check this out, y'all. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, and this is a follower of Christ, right? Really committed, love the Lord. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, your adversary, your adversary, your adversary, the one that doesn't have the best interest in what's good for your life, the one who wants to throw stuff at you that's counterproductive to my plan for your life, he desires to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. In other words, he wants to strip you of everything that makes you who you should be. He's after the very thing that causes you to be the person that God wants you to be. He wants you. But this is incredible. Verse 32, look at what it says. But I've already prayed for your leg. I pray for your arm. Pray for your back. I pray for your job. I pray for your spouse. No, I've already prayed that your faith doesn't fail you. Seeing things from God's perspective, seeing things from God's point of view. I've already prayed that the very thing that solidifies your life will not let you down when you let yourself down. He says, I've already prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Now you're going to go through a little something. But after you go through it, after you are converted, what you've been through going to help somebody else. And you wouldn't think that God would let you go through for somebody else, would you? Well, there are other people that went through for you. And he says that after you go through whatever you got to walk through, in other words, woo, let me go back here. After you go through all these little things that be popping up in your life, that's what's going to happen to your faith. Take me back to my scripture over in Luke 22. Go back to the verse where I was. He says, I pray for you that your faith fail you not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brother. Then check this next verse out. Simon said, that's what I'm talking about. That's my kind of pastor right there. I'm with you, Lord. I'm ready to go. Man, if they lock you up, count me in. Tell them to put me in the cell with you. By the way, anybody want you trying to take you out, they're going to have to take me out first. And all of this is because Jesus told him, I prayed for you. And Simon swells up like we do sometimes. You know how you get a blessing and swell up? You know how you get the job you want? Swell up. You get the man, the woman you want? Swell up. When you get more back on your income tax than you thought, you know how you swell up? When you go in there and find out you got to file an insurance claim on your iPhone and find out they're going to upgrade you without any additional money? You know how you do when Bishop lets us out of church early? You know how you do when Duke is winning all the time? Oh, now you're feeling some kind of way. That's exactly why you need to be in church right there. That's exactly why you need to be in church right there. And since you're in your feelings, stay right there. I'm going to help you in just a minute. Or you know how you feel when Carolina is in the Elite Eight. You would not think something as sensitive as an emblem on a university would have folk just feeling some kind of way. I mean, my team, the Packers are so far removed. I mean, I can't even wish Yeah, we did get a good coach, though. But do you understand what I'm saying? Look at your neighbor and say, this is good stuff. He said, I'm down with you. And the Lord says in the next verse, woo, come on. I love your enthusiasm, man. Your motivation excites me, brother. I appreciate you down with me, all right? You my ride or die, right? But hold it, homie. Before you get too overly excited and start sticking out your chest, something you need to know. You getting ready to go through something, and what you getting ready to go through, you're going to act like you don't even know me. You're going to deny me. And lo and behold, just like God said it, just like the Lord said it, Peter denied him. But out of that, a true conversion came through. Peter got really delivered, and many lives were changed. And I know sometimes in your life you just feel and think and believe that you clicking and ticking, you know, on all cylinders. And I appreciate you. And I'm glad things are rolling for you, right? I'm glad things are moving in the right direction. But don't think that it's always that way. We all have to go through. Have you ever seen the machine when a person is like on a heart monitor? And that thing is just up and down. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep. Now, all the doctors and all of the nurses, everybody's fine as long as that line is up and down, up and down. But if that line ever go flat, everybody hollering. Why are they okay with it being up and down? Because even though it's up and down, it tells them they're living. But when it goes flat, so don't freak out when you have days that are. The fact that you're having means that you're not dead. You're still living. You still got life in you. Talk back to me, somebody. And it's my responsibility to do my best and the responsibility of believers to lead you right. Because if I lead wrong, those who follow gonna follow wrong. And some of us, without leading, we're all over the place, and people are following us are all over the place because we're leading wrong. What are you trying to say? He said, I've already prayed for you that your faith fail you not. You're going to have a day when you're going to go through something. You have a day when you want to quit, when you want to give up, when you want to throw in the towel, touch your neighbor and say, he got to be talking about you because he can't be talking about me. Touch your neighbor and say, wake up. The devil is after your faith. The devil don't want your big screen TV. He don't want your car. Well, bitch, I don't know what you're talking about. Why he be fooling with my TV when the day the game coming on? Why he be fooling with my car? Because the devil hopes that if he touches your stuff, he can get to your faith. But he's not interested in your stuff. He's not even really interested in your boo. Devil want my boo. Devil want my boo. Devil want, no, he don't want your boo. He hoped that if he touch your boo, you'll let your faith go. And you'll get out of character. You'll start misbehaving. And you'll start acting like somebody who's not living by faith. Y'all supposed to be like, is this helping anybody or what? Look at your neighbor and say, your faith is everything. Say, your faith is a valuable commodity. Because see, your faith moves sickness. Your faith moves disease. Your faith moves God. Your faith shakes mountains. Your faith moves heaven. Your faith rebukes the devil. Your faith reaches for the promises of God. Is there anybody here right now that's got any faith on your row? Touch your neighbor and ask them, how's your faith working for you now? Woo, Lord have mercy. And y'all, honestly, the question is not, do you have faith? Because all of us got faith. The question is, what do you have faith for? Or what do you have faith in? You got faith. You have faith that, you know, for the car you got in today. You jumped up in that vehicle and came right on to church. Trusting it was going to work for you. Yeah, you have faith. You have faith in your dentist. They say, I'm just going to numb you up just a little bit. You might feel a little pinch. You okay? Yeah. You have faith for your doctor. You have faith for Walgreens, Rite Aid, whatever other pharmacy you go to. You can't even pronounce some of them pills they give you. They say take two of these. quick, fast, and in a hurry. I say my blessings over pills too. Oh, I pray over a pill like I pray over a fish sandwich. How many of y'all like seafood? All of y'all should have raised your hand because all of y'all see food you like to eat. That's pretty good, wasn't it? But I pray over everything, man. I pray over everything. I take an aspirin. I used to didn't do it. But I pray. I take, Lord, let this Tylenol in Jesus' name. Now, you might think that's silly, but I'm using my faith for everything. I don't want the Tylenol to have a reverse effect. I don't want nobody to got their hand on the pill before I get it. Y'all laughing. I tell you, you're laughing. But I bet some of y'all gonna go out here and start praying. You're gonna pop a BC, Lord, this powder. Touch your neighbor and say, this is good stuff for everybody on my road. Come on, y'all, say it like you mean it. This is good stuff for everybody on my road. So you got to ask yourself, what do I really believe? Not what should I believe, but what do I really believe? And honestly, the truth of the matter is you don't really know what you believe until you get in trouble. Because you get in trouble, then you really find out what you really believe. And honestly, y'all, there are just too many people that are worshiping God by their feelings, not worshiping God by their faith. So if my feelings are right, if my emotions are right, if stuff is all good in my life, so if I feel like worshiping, I worship. I know y'all said, I'm a true worshiper. Lord, I'm free. I just don't feel free today. I would lift my hand, but I got a little tennis spot on my elbow. I know y'all praising and everything, but I worked last night. You feel the spirit? I don't quite feel it yet. That all he got today? I was looking for more than that today. I went to church today. I just didn't feel it. You don't feel like getting up every day going to work. But you don't stay in that bed because you know you miss too many days, they're going to fire you. You go right on up into the job. You may not be feeling it, but you be steady going in. See, I don't know what you're talking about. I go in, but I ain't going to do nothing. I don't feel like doing nothing today. Go on in there and punch in and sit there on the line and let the parts keep going by and see how long they keep you. You hungry? I don't feel hungry. I done cooked this all night. I don't feel it. Sometimes you got to eat it when you don't feel it. She done stood in there and cooked half the night. Done worked all day. And you brothers, you know, thank you. You know, if you got a wife, you had her 10, 15, 20. You know, I mean, you're going to go back and fall in 10. You had her 15, 20 years. You can act like that. But you married somebody within the last 10 years, you can't, they ain't going to. These sisters today, man. No, I'm serious, man. They go out, they work all day. They work 8, 10, 12 hours just like you. You know, come home, cook, take care of the kids and all. They help clean up the house and making just as much, if not more money. I'm not hating on you, brothers. I'm not hating. I'm just telling you the truth. Making just as much money or more money. They're not going to let you just, you know, talk to them any kind of way. These sisters today, they educated, man. You know, some of my brothers, the amen corner went down. But see, that's what I'm talking about. You got to live by faith, man. He says, so they're not going to do that, man. They're not going to do it. It's a different kind of sister, man. They read the Bible. They know what God is saying. And on the other side of the coin, you know, sister, brothers are different too. Brothers working hard, doing all they can to stay focused, love you, stay with you, not leave you, be with only you. Give you their money, pay the bills. They're not going to do all that and let you run your mouth all night. Man, not going to give you the money. You... Man, they don't give you money every time. No, here go, go on over there and sit down. I done gave you the money, done paid the bills. Here go the credit card. Here go the debit card. You know, what? Sit down. Now, that's how you win your men back. No, sir, but it's too many. The point I'm trying to make, there are too many people that are doing things out of your feelings. God don't want you to live for him, serve him, and worship him out of your feelings. You may not never feel like doing it. Thank you, Lord. Is this good stuff or what? So we try, you know, we're trying to get people to feel, get the feelings right. I want you to feel right. I want you to feel right to come to church. I want you to feel right to be a good husband. I want you to feel right to be a good wife. I want you to feel right to be a good son, to be a good daughter. I want you to feel right to be a good Christian. We're trying to get people into feelings. We need to be getting people into faith. Instead of feeling it, we need to be faithing it. New word alert. So we need to do. Lord, these are praying times. Lord, these are praying times. All the saints had better pray. Whoa, it's time to pray. I'm with you. It ain't going to make a bit of sense to just go pray and then get up and don't have no faith. This is not only just praying time, it's faith in time too. Because faith without works is what? It's dead. So I got to stop saying that I don't feel that. I got to start saying I can faith that. It's not about how I feel. It's not about the way I want to do it. It's about how God wants to be worshiped. I came to church in my Range Rover. My Range Rover brought me to church. I had somebody call me last week and say, "Hey, Bishop, see, I'm thinking about, man, getting my wife a Range Rover, and I just want to know how you feel about yours." I said, "I feel real good about mine." And he said, "Would you buy another one?" I said, "Yeah, I'll buy another one without blinking my eye." He said, "You would?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, how many miles you got on?" I said, "I got almost 100,000 miles." 100,000 miles? Good God almighty, man. I said, "Listen, man, anything that costs that much, I ain't paying that kind of money for it to sit in the yard. I'm going to drive that sucker." If you want something to just sit and look, get you a model car. You're paying all that money for a car so you can walk around. "I ain't got but 7,000 miles on it. It ain't even hardly been touched. It ain't been driven." The devil is a liar. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. And every time I get in it, man, I plan to ride too. I ride. "I'm going to Virginia. I'm going to get me." No, I ain't going to rent no car. I'm going to drive that one I made them payments on. "Yeah, that's the one I'm going to drive. I's going to drive it." "Well, Bishop, I can't drive it because of the warranty." The warranty. "Well, you done had it 4 years. It's two parts to the warranty. Miles and years. So you got 5,000 miles, had it 4 years, and you going to go get, going to tell them, I ain't even hardly driven the thing." They say, "Well, sir, the year's gone." "What?" I don't know who I'm preaching to right now. But touch some people and say, "Dry your car. What's wrong with you?" Big old pretty motorcycle, and all you want to do is put on a trailer and ride around on it for people to look at it. Man, you talking about take that sucker off the trailer, man. Drop that thing down. "Yeah, all right. Well, I don't ride mine in the rain." That's fine. You don't have to ride yours in the rain. Don't even bring it out if it's raining. But I'm going to ride. Don't hate on me. All them payments I'm making, you talking about I want to be like you. No, I got to ride mine. I got to ride mine. Where was I at? Oh, I was getting ready to close, right? Okay, all right. I'll get ready to close. So now imagine the whole Bible being God's mind, right? Come on, say right. The whole Bible is God's mind, and then I got my little mind, and everything God want to do, Donovan, it's like God got to stop the whole Bible and say, now, Bishop, now somebody's going to tell a lie on you tomorrow, and before they do it, I just want to check, make sure you're going to feel all right about that. You're going to be, now, the lie not going to last long, but you're going to be okay with that. Sister, your child tomorrow at school is not going to have the best day, and I really didn't know how to tell you, but I want to check in with you and make sure you're going to be okay before the teacher. You're going to be all right if... Can you imagine God stopping everything in his operation to come down with your little mind and make sure your little mind going to be okay with everything that he got laid out for you? Well, Bishop, he ought to. See, that's exactly why he don't. Because your life would get nowhere. Because if you had to approve everything first, it wouldn't happen. So let's go on to the house. Can we go home? Y'all better say something. Y'all don't say nothing. I take 10 more minutes. See, now they done gone to talking. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. But the devil wants your faith. He wants your faith. You can't fight the devil with your greeter badge. I was picking at some of the brothers at 9:30. The devil coming after your house. Oh, here go my usher badge. Oh, usher. You can't fight the devil because you can flip an egg good in the kitchen. Here come the devil. Watch this egg. I'm going to put a praise on it. Ooh, 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 ooh. You can't fight the devil with your shout. You can put your badge out there, usher, greeter. You can flip your egg. You can do your shout. But after you get through it all, if you ain't got no faith, you're done. You got to have, touch on them and say, you got to have faith in God. Sometimes I pick at Miss BR. I'd be like, hey, Miss BR. Because you know, y'all really, you're a product of the people you're listening to. So you're sitting around, people talking fool talk all the time, and you're wondering what's wrong with you. There's no way I can hang out with preachers who don't want to be married and expect to stay married. Sister can't do it. Filthy communication corrupt good manners. You are a good person. It's just the folk you listening to got you all mixed up. Got to be around people who talk faith. People who talk positive. When I'm going through, the last thing I need is just 4 or 5 negative people just all around me. In the Bible, people were known for their faith. They were known for their faith. Not their gift, not their talent. For their faith, they were known by their lifestyle. And honestly, for just a moment as I close for the last time. What are you known for? What are you trying to say, Bishop? This is what I'm trying to say. What do people really know you for? Seriously. Think about it for just a moment. If we put 10 people in the room and say, hey, you know Shootaboo? What would those 10 people say? Oh, they go to hating on me, Bishop. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. Now, all 10 people say the same thing. I ain't judging now. I'm just saying what I'm saying. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just saying what I'm saying. what you're known for. So sometime Miss BR, she how many records you hold in the state? 100. Now see, she tell me she hold, okay. I'm gonna tell you the truth. She told me she hold 100 records. The first thing I thought, 100 records? She's slightly embellishing. You just tell the truth, saying the devil. Just, I mean, and then, but I know Miss BR. I said, 100? She said, yeah, 100. So she bodybuilding and all that kind of stuff. And so she not the only one. I sometimes tell her, Miss BR, tell them the records you hold. Where Peter at? Where Brother Peter? Stand up there, Brother Peter. Brother Peter, is he? I would bring you on the stage, but I don't want to do that to you today. I won't put that kind of pressure on you, Peter. But Peter be working out too. And Peter, you know, I see him, and now, you know, sometimes I watch his videos. And Peter be throwing that iron. And you know, I'm not hating on you brothers that throw iron, man, because you know y'all cut, man. Y'all cut. And we really know you cut now since the weather done broke. In the wintertime, y'all didn't have a coming truck because you had to keep on the coat. Now in summer, I'm going to the house of the Lord. What up, bitch? Now, I'm not hating on y'all. I'm not hating on Peter. Because I look at Peter and I say, man, Peter getting cut. So every once in a while, Pastor Patty be coming down the hall, right? Now, I don't work out like Peter. But she coming down the hall and I see her coming. So I be trying, you know how you try to act like you got something? You know you got to hold your breath. And you hope she hurry up and go because you're going to die, going to collapse if you don't. So I'm like, what's up? And, you know, she just make me feel good, you know. I know she don't always be telling me the truth, but it sure good. It sure be good to listen to her say it. And she'll grab my arm. Ooh. And see, then the devil start talking to me, right? He say, she like you just like you are. You don't need to do anything. The point I'm trying to make is, no matter how much I like Peter's muscles, if I don't start working out, I'm not going to get his muscles. It's not going to happen. And that's how faith is. Your faith muscles swell when you use them. And sometimes you're looking at other folks' muscles and wondering why they're cut. They're not cut because they're better than you. They're cut because they're using what they got. And your faith muscle grows based on how much weight it has to carry. So some of the things you're going through is designed to put weight on your faith, so that your faith muscles will swell up in that situation. And if God don't put some weight on your faith, there's some stuff that'll hit your life. You'll never get through. You'll never get victory over. You'll never get larger than that. You'll never stand up to it. And so God has to put stuff on you so you don't keep quitting and keep giving up and keep throwing in the towel. So sometimes he'll put some weight on your marriage, so your marriage muscle can swell up.
Get clear.
Let's get clear, y'all.
Get focused.
Let's get focused.
Get moving. Great expectations.
Charles Millett Ministries would like to thank you for listening to this message. We pray that the favor of God continues to elevate your life. Our mission is to get clear, get focused, and get moving. If you want more information about our ministry, please contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.
Yeah, you on with the Bishop
Charles Millett.
Yeah. With the Bishop
Charles Millett.
You're rocking with the Bishop
Charles Millett. Great expectations.